Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 5th, 2012, episode 481, and it's brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, horse people.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, until I said it, I don't think that I realized it was September 5th. You know, it's such a crazy week feeling because we had the holiday on Monday, and it's unbelievable. It's finally September. Like, we're into it now. This is great.
School has started. Right? We're back in school, Jamie.
I know. Back to school. And I was just looking. I was thinking, okay, it's September. That's the month that it's supposed to really start to cool off. And I'm looking at my weather forecast, and it is 102 today. And it gets up to about 104 tomorrow. So this is wonderful. This is the month when you live in Phoenix, Arizona, that you're like, always, it's just the longest month. Because you think it should be cool. Because it's cool everywhere else, and it just doesn't cool off until about mid-October. So this is a month that, like, really gets you. This is when you go, I want to kill myself, or I've got to move. That's the month here in Phoenix.
And when you say cool off, that's relatively speaking, you'll be cooling off into the 80s and 90s, right?
Oh, my God. I would give anything to have a 90-degree day. That's
our daily,
terrible.
I just looked at our weather. You know, weather doesn't change a lot in Florida. And, you know, I just looked at our weather, and it's supposed to be 90 pretty much every day. It's 70 at night, 90 during the day, and 3 o'clock the rain comes, and 4 o'clock it's over. And that's your days in Florida. It's pretty much, you know, you can do the same thing. It's just 110 every day, and there's no rain. And then at night it's 98.
Yeah. Yeah. It really cools off at night. Psych. So, I want to get into it because we have a new pony that has come to live with us, and bless his heart, I don't think he knew what he was getting into when he moved to Phoenix. He's like, oh, September, let me start putting on a winter coat, and then he moves to Phoenix. So we got to talk about that coming up, and I want to hear what your daily whinny is. So Jennifer, talk to us about what is coming up on today's show.
On today's Back on Track Wednesday Crappy List Edition, we begin with our courageous co-hosts investigating the weekend's equine exploits, and then crappy lists make a comeback, so put on your muck boots. And being Wednesday and all, thehorse.com is here to reignite your horse health paranoia, and drop everything and head out to the barn for a spell because it's National Be Late for Something Like Work Day.
Well, that's a good day.
Oh, wow. We forgot to be late. You want to start the show
that.
Over? And, yeah,
yeah,
no,
right?
We should just start over. My daily whinny goes out to all of my man friends over at Horse Husbands Unite, the Facebook page that we started. You know, sort of like a little man cave for horse husbands on the internet where we can go and hang out And over the weekend, one of our listeners, or one of the people, one of the guys over there on Horse Husbands Unite, came up with a tremendous. I posted this picture of this girl riding in a bikini on the beach, and then he came up with a terrific new idea that we should petition the International Olympic Committee. You know how volleyball was kind of that sport that everybody played in high school, and, you know, you knew the colleges played it, and maybe there was a professional thing, who knows. But you never watched it until they put it on the beach and put girls in bikinis. And then this year, it's probably one of the most popular sports for watching at the Olympics. Well, he proposed, that John did, that we should petition the IOC for bikini beach dressage at the next Olympics. It would increase the ratings tremendously of dressage. And look, it adds some elements. It adds bikinis. It adds the beach. You know, they're already sort of at the beach without the ocean part, you know, because it's sand in the arena. But this would just catapult dressage to a whole new level.
You know, I can't argue with you. I can't imagine getting my husband to watch dressage. However, if it was a girl in a bikini doing dressage, I mean, good God. What about the girls that would need, like, a sports bra? Like, do they have some sort of special bikini for the sitting trot? I mean, really? Let's be realistic. Somebody's going to get a black eye.
I'm telling you, this is a sport made for guys. It would be a huge hit. But think of the sponsorships you could get for that sport. Now, you know, and I had to work extra hard. I actually, if you go to Horse Husbands Unite, I found a picture of a girl in a bikini riding a horse on the beach in a dressage saddle, of all things.
Yeah,
so,
that's a pretty monumental photo right there. I mean,
do you know how long it took me and how many pictures of girls in bikinis on the beach I had to look at to find that?
Okay,
my
hold
God,
up. Jennifer,
so
Jennifer, let me just,
yes?
Let me talk to you for a second. So,
sure.
If you, just so you know, if you walk into the office of your husband and he is perusing the internet looking at what some would consider porn, but he thinks, honey, it's for work. I'm doing it for work. Just
I have a difficult job. I have to support all the horse husbands out there. I need to represent. I have to do my research so that what I post is accurate.
Unbelievable.
Well, heaven
Jennifer.
Forbid, we wouldn't want a girl in a bikini in a jumping saddle. No.
I know, right?
You would be flamed.
No, that's right.
I did love the fact that, I went on and I actually made a comment on this. I don't know if you saw, but there were some women who were on your page that were kind of like the first girl that was in the Western saddle. They talked about how her stirrups were too long and blah, 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 and they were women. And I reminded her that this is not a page for women, and don't be a hater. Don't be a hater.
Thank you, Jamie.
However, I did realize that on the Horse Husbands Unite Facebook page, I'm not going to mention any names, but there are some male family members of mine, and I'm a little PO'd about it.
It's not your husband. I didn't see Chad on there.
No, he's not allowed to do Facebook chat. Chad learned a long time ago just to stay away. It's probably for the best. So he doesn't do it, but there are family members of mine that are men that are on your page. So I just want to point that out. It is not unknown to me. It's unnoticed.
Now, I will say that we have had a couple of guys post on the page about how wonderful their horse wives are. So there have been some comments and some posts on there about how wonderful their horse wives were. And Ray posted on there a picture of his wife putting up fence over the weekend. And he said, funny, this site popped up on my wall last week because we are currently putting up a fence around her dressage arena. I love how we are putting up a fence around her dressage arena. We are making good progress. I came home from golf this weekend and snapped this shot of her putting up the fence. And I got to thinking, yeah, I kind of wouldn't have been allowed to go out and play golf while there was a fencing project going on. That wouldn't have happened in our house.
Yeah, she's nice. Now, what you have to realize too, Glenn, is that women are smarter than you and men in general. And I just want you to know that a lot of times when people post, like say Chad, I'm doing it, finger quotes in the air, Chad got on your page and started posting about how awesome his wife was. Let me just tell you who Chad is. That's me. So keep in mind that there might be wives posting for their husbands on this page. So just don't be afraid to call a spade
Well, I hope they don't get too insulted as we try and dumb down the internet a bit on Horse Husbands Unite.
I think it's a good thing. I think you guys need a little bit. You need help somehow. So I think it's good.
It's our support group. All right, your turn. You can join though by going to Horse Husbands Unite and hitting like or your horse husband.
My daily Winnie goes out to listener and now dear friend, almost like a family member, Betty Faye. Betty was the one who, when I was having all my serious frustrations trying to buy a school horse and a husband horse, something that advanced beginners could ride and that my husband could ride, I just needed a horse. And I was trying horses that, when asked if they fit this category, people said yes, and one bucked, one reared, one bolted, one was lame. I mean, I was so frustrated with horse shopping. And our listener, Betty Faye, called me up and said, listen, I've got a horse that I've been looking for a good home for, and I want you to think about buying it. So she sent me all these videos, and you know what the heck? I bought it. Sight unseen. I mean, I'd seen him in the videos and, you know, talking to her, he sounded perfect. Well, he got here on Monday. Finally shipped in. We'll get into the shipping story in a second. But he is absolutely wonderful. Chad rode him the next day. I mean, he's like, he couldn't stand it. He is this big 16-2-hand tank of a buckskin. He is awesome. Chad got on him and was like, watch this, Jamie, watch this. And he put his leg, like, right behind the girth, and the horse goes and does a turn on the forehand. Then he goes, watch this, and he puts his leg, like, on the girth, and the horse does a turn on the haunches. He's like, this horse has too many buttons. I don't know what all these things do. I was like, just shorten your reins and trot.
This is a guy who flies fighter jets with 1,000 buttons.
He said, I know, so I started explaining the inside leg to outside rein phenomenon. That is how to control this horse, because obviously he's a very well-trained dressage horse. And he finally was like, wow, that really works. This is so counterintuitive because the rudders on the jet are totally backwards from this. Hey, honey, it's not a jet. Okay, you don't do inside rein and inside leg in a jet, okay?
You know what, too? you know, the missile system is completely different, too.
I'm sure. Yeah. They all come out the back, but whatever. Different buttons. So he absolutely fell in love with him. I emailed Jennifer a photo of him, and maybe if you don't mind posting it on the page. Now, this horse's name is Robbie, and I love the name. I love the name. We'll call him Robert, Robbie, whatever. Chad's like, no. We have to name this horse John Wayne. This horse is awesome. He should be named after John Wayne, which, of course, is another J, by the way. And I said, we're not naming the horse John Wayne. He's like, well, then we'll call him the Duke. I was like, okay. And so I told Betty that. Betty's like, he is nowhere near tough enough to be called John Wayne. I was like, not according to Chad. This horse would run through a wall. This is like the coolest horse ever to Chad. So I just wanted to thank her again for opening our eyes to him. And now I would like to talk a little bit about shipping said horse down to Phoenix. I hired a company that was very local to where I am. They originate in Buckeye, and he was up in Pueblo, Colorado, and believe it or not, they have another satellite farm just outside of Pueblo. So I booked this company because they told me, and I have the emails to prove it, that it's a short drive. They go back and forth all the time. And I said, well, you know, when's your next trip? And this was like a couple weeks ago. And they said, oh, well, tomorrow, but the horses are going from here to Texas, and they got to go here, and they got to go here. And I said, well, I don't want to be on that one. I want to just get on a direct one. Oh, okay. Well, then they contacted me when they were leaving, which was this past Thursday. Well, Thursday comes and goes, and Betty's waiting on them to come get the horse, and they call me Wednesday night. Oh, I called them, and I said, what time are you getting there? Oh, Saturday around 1. I'm like, oh, but you had said Thursday. Oh, yeah, well, that changed. Nobody called me to tell me, and, of course, Betty had vet appointments and all this to get the health certificate, blah, blah, blah. It's a nightmare. So Saturday at 1, Betty's waiting on them to come and get the horse, and they don't show up. So she calls. She calls the driver. And the driver, the number that they had given her for the driver is like asleep in the middle of the day. And is like, hello. She's like, yeah, I'm just wanting to know what time you guys are going to get her to pick up the horse. What are you talking about? I'm not picking up a horse today. The driver had no idea when or where this horse is supposed to be, or that he was supposed to be picking it up, or that this company is giving out his phone number. He's like, I don't even really work for that company. My son does. Why? But sometimes I'll help, but he had no idea. So obviously said horse is not getting picked up Saturday. So I call the company and I start freaking out. Well, come to find out, they're coming on Sunday. So Sunday comes and they pick up the horse. And I'm like, okay, what time are they dropping the horse off? Because I call and they're like, they've already got the horse on the trailer. He has left Pueblo, Colorado. I call him, like, what time is this horse getting me? Nobody has communicated at all. They have taken my money, by the way, because that was the first and foremost thing that they did was get the deposit and keep the credit card number. They call me, and I call them. I'm like, what time is my horse coming? So they picked him up around 6 a.m., so he should be here at 6 p.m. He's like, well, let me contact the driver. I'll call you back. They call me back. He'll be in tomorrow between 4 and 6 p.m.
Wait, hold on. Took the long way, huh?
I'm like, are you kidding me? Why is this horse is supposed to come directly to Phoenix? Oh, well, they have to go to Albuquerque, and then they're going to, like, Las Cruces, somewhere in southern New Mexico, and then they'll be driving up and around. So this poor horse in the desert of Arizona and New Mexico stood in the trailer for 36 hours. This what? And we're talking a slant load. 36 hours.
Didn't you say it's like a 10 or 11 hour trip direct?
It should be a 12 hour direct, which is why I hired them, because they went direct. That's what they told me. I paid them their money and they lied. They lied to me 5 or 6 different times, even to the point where he'll be here between 12 and 2, and the horse, 2 o'clock comes. And I'm like, where's my freaking horse? See, he didn't get here till almost 4 that day. 36 hours this horse stood in a 6-horse slant load full in the desert. By the time he got here, he was so hot, he had snot running out his nose because I'm sure the ventilation wasn't that good. He was so dehydrated, the second he got off, he went right to the water trough and started sucking down water, which when do horses do that at a new place? Never. So
never,
he was so thirsty. And then they're supposed to give me all this stuff, his grain and stuff that he had packaged, all his grain. And they gave me grain for 2 other horses. They gave me a bale of alfalfa hay. And they gave me all, of course, I'm like, this is not mine. This is not mine. This is not mine. And then there was something that was supposed to go in the horse's water for travel, which they handed me. I'm like, this is supposed to be in his water. Way to go. Then they hand me his dinner from the night before. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? Mentally retarded. I've never dealt with a company this bad. This horrible company that shipped this horse, I cannot believe how painfully bad it was. So I'm not allowed to say the name. Glenn told me I wasn't allowed to say the name. So if you think of the number 3 and air conditioning, there you go. Figure that out, or you can just email me, and I'll write you and tell you the name of the company to never, ever, ever, ever hire to ship a horse. They didn't even apologize. I was on the phone with the owner of the company. He's like, this never happens. This is crazy. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Then some guy in Colorado was like, I'm the owner of the company, blah, and it's not the guy I've been talking to. I don't know what they're doing. So unorganized. Thank God this horse made it here alive. I have never been so disappointed in a company in my entire life. And shifting a horse is something that is so personal and is so scary. Like, you're entrusting somebody to take care of your animal, your family member. Betty throws this horse on the trailer, and she thinks, I've booked somebody who's going to be reliable. And it was totally disappointing. I feel so bad for booking this irresponsible call. Of course, you can't find anything bad about them because they're going to delete anything on their Facebook page that's negative or anything like that. So, you know, when there are these huge companies like Sally and Equine Express and Brookledge, they are a big successful company for a reason. I wanted to hire a mom-and-pop company that was local, and I thought I'd be doing a good job, you know, help that. No, I'm going big the whole time from now on. Because
well,
those
that, you know, it makes me appreciate Sally that we have such easy access to here in the East Coast, you know. It just it makes you appreciate that. But
well,
yeah,
I
it
tried
does sound
to
like
Brookledge.
That was just oh yeah,
Brookledge,
well, Brookledge is out of your way.
Well, kind of. They don't really do this trip, so they were like four times more expensive because they were going to have to do it themselves, and I just couldn't afford it. It was like in the almost $2,000 to ship over 12 hours. So anyway, I was just incredibly disappointed. So, yeah, just email me if you want the name of the company to never, ever, 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 ever use to even ship a horse for 5 minutes. And this poor horse is on this trailer. It was full. They had minis in there. Apparently, they had minis in the dressing room when they went to pick up Robbie.
Oh, gosh.
Talk about ventilation in there, please.
Oh, God. We need a Yelp. We need a Yelp for horse businesses. That's what we need. We need a Yelp for horse businesses. Because you're right, there is no real good place to go look and see, you know, where people can bitch and complain about things like this.
I just cannot believe that one thing after another with this. I'm leaving out like 50% of everything else because it's too boring and I just get too mad. So at any rate, don't hire this company. Email me if you want the name. Glenn's mean.
Well,
let me tell you
that's there. And I just saw the picture, and it looks like the, you know, the horse is doing well. Now, I will say, what you know, it wasn't John Wayne didn't ride a Palomino. It was Trigger that was the Palomino.
This horse is not a Palomino, Glenn. He's a buckskin.
Okay, buckskin, yellow horse, same thing. It's not a John Wayne horse. Tell Chad I'm not seeing John Wayne in this horse.
He's not naming him after John Wayne's horse, who he had a horse named Dollar at one point. He was naming him after John Wayne.
I know, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing a John Wayne here.
I love it. We're addicted to John Wayne.
What is with your husband and the beard? He's starting to look like me.
I know.
That
isn't that
great?
It's like getting to make out with a stranger.
I didn't know he was allowed to with the military thing.
Any chance that he has, like, a three-day weekend to not shave, there is no way he's shaving. He almost had a full beard coming back from Spain because he was off for 2 weeks. Now, granted, of course, yesterday morning he comes out and he's just so smooth and soft. And, again, it's like kissing a stranger. It's awesome because it's like a whole different feel.
And on that note, let's remind everybody that the chat room is open. If you want to chat with other listeners during the show, you can by going to blogtalkradio.com and right on the homepage there, you should see Horses in the Morning. Just click on that and you'll find the chat room on that page. And we want to remind everybody, too, that there's no really bad ads this week. Jamie's going to a show. We'll have to find out more about how your preparation for that. She's going to a show this weekend, our first one-star show. So, you know, her horse is moving up greatly this week,
training
and
level.
We'll see how that
training
goes.
Level. It's not a
training
star
level?
Yet. I'm not there yet.
I was going to come out, too, for your first one star. I guess I don't have to come out this weekend.
Well, you had said you were going to come out if I did a training level 3 day, which would be the half star. And my goal was to do that in November in California, and that's not going to happen. But next year. We are so going to do it next year.
Well, and then you promised in 2 years we could go to Rolex and see you.
Oh, maybe three. Give me three.
Well, I'm so glad that you got your new horse, and thank you to Betty Faye. Betty Faye deserves this. She's a good listener. She's been a listener to our shows probably since the beginning, and it was very nice for her to get in touch with you about this. She deserves that.
Absolutely. I'm standing for you, Betty. I'm so excited about this horse. Chad just, he loves it. Like, I've never seen him, like, kind of drool over a horse before. He's like, he's so pretty. He's so cool looking. Anyway, awesome. I'm excited.
Well, now, you were so busy over the weekend. Did you get to see the Woodward Stakes at all? Did you get to see the race over the weekend that
you
can watch a man with?
I did not get to
we
see
watched
it. I'm dying to know.
We watched it live on Saturday, and of course, everybody, you know, our adopted horse here at Horses in the Morning is Mucho Macho Man. And Mucho Macho Man has actually done quite well compared and stayed sound, unlike the rest of it, his comrades, which we have to talk a little bit about too. Another one bites the dust. So, you know, we were expecting, he came in right before the race, Jamie, and you don't see this too often. He was 1-1. Right before the
no
race.
No kidding.
He was 1-1.
Wow.
Everybody was betting on this horse. And I have the race call. Why don't I play that first, and then we can talk about it. But so here's the race call of Mucho Macho Man in the Woodward.
They're in the gate.
Coming
off in the Woodward, Rule is hustled out of there in Trickmeister 2. But it's Rule who's gone to the front. Trickmeister will be second as they move into the turn. To Honor and Serve is up close today. Mucho Macho Man right there tucked away and behind the lead. Then Gourmet Dinner followed by Stay Thirsty and Cease at the back of the pack. The pacemaker is Rule. Rule on top by length. With Trickmeister running along in second. To Honor and Serve on the outside. Mucho Macho Man down on the fence. After a 23-3 opening quarter mile, Stay Thirsty sets up outside for the run down the backstretch. He's just outside of Mucho Macho Man. And then a break of three back to Gourmet Dinner and another two back to Cease, who's on hold at the back of the pack. Trickmeister now making a serious move at Rule. Those two share the lead down the backstretch run. To Honor and Serve right up and on that pace. The quarter 23-3. The half was a legitimate 47 2/5 seconds. In the meantime, Mucho Macho Man is still affixed to the inside rail, and Stay Thirsty's keeping him there. And it's a break of another six. Back to a pair of long shots. Cease and Gourmet Dinner around the fire turn. Rule and Control to Honor and Serve motoring up on the outside. And then it's Trickmeister. Mucho Macho Man still on the rail. Stay Thirsty trying to stay with him on the outside. Coming to the top of the stretch, Rule with a narrow lead. To Honor and Serve, ready to roll as they make the turn into the stretch. Trickmeister is there. Mucho Macho Man, he's going to have to find some running room. No, and now he does. Now Mucho Man has room to run. Let's see if he's got the run into the final furlong. To Honor and Serve, Mucho Macho Man coming with giant strides on the outside. To Honor and Serve, a stubborn foe. Mucho Macho Man, those two, and To Honor and Serve would not let Mucho Macho Man by. A game winner of the Woodward. Cease was third.
Wow.
So you got it.
I have goosebumps. I think we've lost Glenn, Jamie. Oh, my gosh. What a race. So it sounds like, Jennifer, that, you know, he was pinned the entire kind of first three quarters of it, got a little room from Stay Thirsty, which, by the way, that's awesome. He's still running. And got by Stay Thirsty, but just couldn't pass To Honor and Serve, who is an incredibly fast horse as well. So good for him. I mean, that's a tough race. So when they were coming down the home stretch, Jen, did it just not look like, did it look like he was going to get it? Was it a photo finish? Was it close?
It was a comfortable neck. Early in the race, when Mucho got a little bit boxed in, you could tell that Mike had to check him, and his running style really doesn't care for that a whole lot. So you could tell he was a little bit off mentally coming into the stretch, and he's going, well, am I supposed to run or not? And then he kicked in a little bit, but Honor and Serve was really on his game. I really think the better horse won that day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, it's just so much luck in racing, and sounds like he got pinned a little bit at the beginning. But what an awesome race. So now what I have read is that he is now slated to go to the Breeders' Cup, and he may meet up with To Honor and Serve again. Now, I had no idea. That is so cool to go to the Breeders' Cup. First of all, they went to three Triple Crown races. This horse has run in the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, and for him to go and probably, I guess, the Breeders' Cup Classic maybe is what he would be slated for. That'd be just awesome, especially after so many horses from this year's crop have already retired. To have him for 2 years like this is just awesome.
Well, he's not just running in all these really, really big races. He's running and doing well in all these really big races. He's not winning in every single one, but he's holds his own. I'm real proud of Mucho Macho Man.
I am too, and it seems like he was so young when the Kentucky Derby. I mean, he was like a May baby, I think, April or May. So he was just, I think he was still two when he ran the Derby. So, you can say what you want about running horses too early. This horse is, knock on wood, stayed incredibly sound in this run in some of the best races that there are. So, Glenn, are you back with us?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, I got booted off there. And one thing we noticed in the winner's circle, I didn't realize this, it caught my attention, is that To Honor and Serve is that Mrs. Weber owns To Honor and Serve, and Mrs. Weber is Live Oak Farm, Chester Weber's mom, Chester Weber, the big four-in-hand driver known worldwide, and it was his mom that she breeds racehorses. It was the first time I've really ever seen her in the winner's circle like that. So To Honor and Serve is a horse. Right from Ocala, right literally 2 miles from our house.
That's cool. That is cool. Well, I don't care who he is. Mucho Macho Man is still our favorite.
That is
He's going to be my pick. Now, we have some bad news as well as far as racehorses go. You know, it's been such a frustrating year for horses like Union Rags and I'll Have Another and all these guys that have had such a hard year with minor injuries and having to retire because of that. Now, there's a horse named Painter, and if you recall, he finished second by a neck to Union Rags in the Belmont Stakes. He was actually one of the favorites for the Belmont Stakes. An awesome, awesome horse. And sadly, he came up with, after the last race that he won, and I can't remember which one it is, but he won a race and then came out of it and got sick. And he had like a fever and diarrhea after this race. And so they weren't quite sure what it is. They sent him to the hospital. He got a little bit better, and then they brought him home. Well, then he got sick again. And Painter now has been in the hospital up in New York for several weeks, and they have just said that, sadly, he has come down with laminitis in 3 out of 4 feet. And so just absolutely heartbreaking. And I guess he's got a serious case of colitis. And a lot of times, you know, when they have so many problems, even with colic surgeries and everything like that, the horse can develop laminitis, what with the stress of their body going through what it's going through. So the owner is obviously trying to do the best thing for the horse. His name is Ahmed Zayat. And Dr. Laura is the one that's treating him, and he says that he's basically going to leave it to Dr. Laura. He said that we need to be compassionate and merciful and treat our star with the respect and love that he deserves while giving him the best chance in fighting for his life. Please pray. I am at a loss of what the right thing to do is here, but I'll leave it up to his caring and loving vet to decide the right course of action. Now, you know, it makes me sad because so many of us have had to deal with that decision before. And to have a multi-millionaire who's sitting here and he says, I am at a loss in what the right thing to do is here. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter who you are. This situation, when it presents itself, it's never, never easy to make this decision. Whether to, you know, keep the treatment going. And I know they'll do the best thing for the horse. But again, Painter, we're sending out, you know, good, happy thoughts and prayers for you, my friend.
We should hear shortly, too, what in the next day, they said, within 24 hours of yesterday. So today we probably should hear something about that. It's been a tough road to hoe for the crop this year. It really has.
It sure has.
Well, let's take a break for our sponsor for today's show is Back on Track Products, and we'll be right back. I have a couple of lists for you. We haven't had a chance to do any lists lately, so I have a couple of good ones for you that I think you'll be surprised at the one. We'll be right back.
Back on Track is a revolutionary line of pain relief products for horses and humans. Utilizing ancient Chinese experience, modern scientific findings, and skilled textile production, we have developed a line of products made of polyester fabric with ceramic powder melted into the threads. This ceramic-infused fabric reflects body heat as infrared waves, a form of energy that has a documented pain-relieving effect. It can reduce inflammation, ease muscle tension, increase blood circulation, and boost the healing process. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your muscles before exercise or work, thereby reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, they can also expedite the recovery from established injuries. Our wide range of products for horses includes blankets, coolers, saddle pads, boots, and wraps. We also offer a number of products for humans, including back and knee braces, gloves, bedding, and clothing. Back on Track is used by the top equestrians in the world, including McLean Ward, Stefan Peters, BZ Madden, Michelle Gibson, Margie Engel, and Debbie McDonald, just to name a few.
We've been using the Back on Track products now for approximately 4 years, starting with the leg wrap and the blankets. We've seen and noticed wonderful results from these products. We've no longer used poultice in our barn. The horses come out with much tighter legs, seem to have many less ailments, and the side effects of using poultice are not noticed, obviously, using the Back on Track wraps. Using the blankets, the horses have far less back trouble, far less irritation, allows us to do less veterinary treatments on the horse's joints, as well as chiropractic work, and we really feel that it's been a huge improvement for us and helped us have some great results.
If you and your horse would like to experience better health and quality of life, Back on Track may be the answer that you've been looking for.
And that's backontrackproducts.com is where you want to go for all of the products at Back on Track. Well, Jamie, there's a story out, and I'm not a big Coldplay fan. You know, I'm not really, I can't honestly tell you, I've heard a whole lot of Coldplay songs, but this story caught my eye this morning, and I thought, are you a Coldplay fan, by the way?
Yes, incredibly
huge. All right, then you'll love this story. Chris Martin, is he the head guy at Coldplay? Is that
the lead singer. He's awesome.
Well, he claims that Coldplay songs put horses in the mood for sex. The singer says their music was played to a reluctant stud who got amorous after hearing one of their biggest hits. He said, "We heard that there was a guy who couldn't get his horse to breed properly. He played Fix You," I guess that's the name of the song, "he played Fix You, and sex took place. Now he has the most expensive stud farm in Britain." So there you go. Does that work for you, Fix You? Is that one of your songs that makes you a little amorous there, Jamie?
I've got to be honest with you. That was the song that Chad and I danced to at our wedding. I was looking it up here on my iPod. Oh, it makes me take me right back. Say what?
Apparently it works for stallions too.
Well, it worked that night, yeah boy. Oh, I love this song. I can see how it would make a horse amorous. Why not? I mean, it must work for his wife. Can you know who his wife is? Gwyneth Paltrow.
I didn't realize that. Now, she just, we covered this, I think, that she just bought a $6 million farm that has a stables and fields and everything, but she hates horses. You know, she's always said she hates horses.
That is a lie. Gwyneth Paltrow is my favorite celebrity in the world. There's no way she hates horses.
She says she had an experience when she was younger with a horse, and she just hates horses, wants nothing to do with them. When there's horses on the movie set, she tries and avoids it at all costs.
Well, why on earth did she buy a $6 million farm?
Because she could. you know, don't have to have horse. It looks pretty. Right.
Maybe
he's thinking about getting into horses, you know. Who knows? You know, now that he's got the magic there with the songs.
Do you remember that TV show that Jerry Seinfeld did like 2 years ago or a year ago that was the, you know, all the celebrities sitting on stage and they were supposed to ask the advice of the celebrities and like marital problems? I can't remember.
That one mustn't have lasted very long.
It didn't last very long, but it was really funny. And Gwyneth Paltrow was one of the celebrity people up on stage that are supposed to give marital advice to this couple. And this comedian turns to her and goes, "What do you know about giving marital advice? She's like, "What do you do? Do you and Chris just lay around in bed burning money and laughing? Is that what you do?" And I'm like, that's probably what they do. Why not? They just burn money just for fun.
Hey, did you ever watch Inside the Actor's Studio?
Yes.
Well, you know, the host on there, did you know that he is a horse guy?
No.
James Lipton is a big jumper guy. He was years ago, and I'm going to put in a plug here. We just put out a new Equestrian Legends show, and I got to interview Claire Simpson, who's a legend in the Morgan world, the Morgan horse world. Before he got into horses, late in life, actually, he worked 40 years in the TV and entertainment business and was vice president of daytime programming at NBC. And the one that got him into horses was James Lipton.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say to me that you actually did an Equestrian Legends with James Lipton, and that is the one person on the planet I would never want to interview.
She's working on getting him on our show, so you might have the chance to interview him.
I don't want to interview him. He's too good of it. No. He'd be like, "I'm sorry. Don't ask me that question. Ask me this one." Or he would correct you or something because he's like the interview guy. I mean, he gets to like the heart of everything. That's why I like watching him, because you actually learn how to interview, until he started getting like, you know, D-list celebrities. But I love it when he gets these A-list celebrities on and just like pulls information out of them. It's so good. And Will Ferrell doing James Lipton is just the greatest thing ever.
Now, I will say, though, that Jennifer did a little research and found out, Jennifer can expand upon this, but found out that James Lipton actually does spend about 2 weeks researching his guests. So, see, he's got that on us, too, because we're too lazy for that.
Yeah, I spend like two minutes.
So hopefully someday soon you might have James Lipton on here and you'll get to interview him.
I'm sick that day.
So now I have two lists for you. They're kind of related lists. It's been a long time since we did Crappy List Wednesday, so we'll do that today. We have a little time. I have the 10 most dangerous jobs just came out for 2012 again, and also the coolest jobs you've never heard of. So which one do you want to hear?
Coolest jobs you've never heard of.
All right. These are some you've never heard of, and I would ask you to guess, but there's no way in hell you're ever going to guess these. How about if you applied for a job to be a water slide tester? Yes,
Ooh.
That's right, a water slide tester. There's a company by the name of First Choice, which is a British travel company, that has this guy by the name of Tommy Lynch that travels the world visiting water parks and rating water parks. So that's his job. He goes around the world doing water slides and raiding water parks, doing all of the attractions at water parks.
Okay, so this is not like he's testing out prototypes of water slides. Okay, because that would be a really crappy job. Like, slide down this and tell me what happens. You get catapulted. That's what I envisioned.
He's a test dummy. Nope, he gets it better than that. He gets to go, like, sit on the beach. He gets to go do all of the little things at the water park. He gets to eat the food. What a good job. How do you get that job?
Yeah, that's a pretty good job.
Yeah. How about cup keeper? And that's not the kind of cup you immediately thought of. It's because that's the kind of cup I immediately thought of. Ew. But no, it's not that kind of cup. It's the Stanley Cup. There is actually somebody, because that's a traveling trophy, but there is actually somebody that whose job it is to protect the trophy. And he does the MVP appearances, and, you know, he actually is in charge of keeping the trophy safe. And it's a paid position. So
no
that's
kidding.
His job. Yeah. His name is Mike Bolt. He's 42-year-old from Toronto, and he's been protecting the trophy since the year 2000. And he said that the compensation for the position is closely guarded secret, and it's a highly coveted position.
I would imagine. That has to be like the easiest job in the world.
Yeah. It should, you know, they should probably add Stanley Cup Keeper, because Cup Keeper has a lot of bad.
Especially hockey related cups.
Yeah. How about field test analyst for recreational equipment? And apparently there's this guy that works for recreational equipment company, which sells sporting goods and recreational gear to 100 retailers around the United States. And this guy's job is to test the skateboards and the bikes and the skis. He is the official equipment tester, and he goes out around the country and tests the equipment to make sure it's okay.
That's a good job. That is a good. It's like in the movie Big, when what's his name gets to go, and he's the tester for a bunch of toys, and that's what the job that he has.
Yes, that's right.
Tom
I
Hanks.
Forgot about that.
Tom Hanks.
I forgot
Big, gets
about
to test all the toys.
I totally forgot about that. That's right. How about a bed tester? That sounds like my kind of job. You know that field analyst thing? They got to do recreation. It requires exercise and, like, you know, you got to do stuff. But if you're a bed tester, now that's a cool job. And this is actually a real job. And what they do is it involves bouncing on beds to test comfort. It apparently is a serious business, and it's done by Natalie Thomas, who works for Premier Inn Hotel Chain in the UK. And her and her team are tasked with testing all of the chain's 46,000 beds. So she goes from hotel to hotel, jumping and laying on beds.
Oh, my God. What about those hotels that have, like, the bed bugs or, like, the nasty, you know, you'd have to take the black light in there and, yeah, no.
I'm actually seeing that there's a picture of one of the rooms here, and I don't think this is that kind of hotel. This is it looks kind of a little fancy. Yeah, kind of nice.
Hey,
there you go.
Nasty stuff happens in fancy hotels just like in crappy hotels.
Now, get this too, Jamie. In 2011, the company, Premier Inn, had this woman, get this, Natalie Thomas's butt insured for $6.3 million.
No way.
Yes, through Lloyd's of London.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
There's another job you've never heard of, butt insurer.
Yes.
Yes. You have to inspect that before you insure it? I mean, what's the deal?
And then the number one job, apparently, that you've never heard of is a gold stacker. The United States Bullion Depository, better known as Fort Knox, is not the largest gold repository in the United States. That is actually at the Federal Reserve Bank in New York. And apparently, occasionally, they have to move some of the $194 billion worth of gold bars that are stored there. So they have these official people known as gold stackers, this team of gold stackers that are in charge of moving the 27-pound gold bars. Now, apparently it's hard work. You know, it's a lot harder than the bed tester because they have gold bars are heavy, 27 pounds each, and they got to move these things from one stack to another. So that's their job. You're the gold stacker. You get paid to do that.
That's not a fun job. That sounds like hard work.
That does sound like hard work. But and you probably don't get to put any in your pocket either. They're probably real picky about that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That's lame.
So that's it. There's the five cool jobs that you've never heard of.
I want to be the water slide tester.
I'll take the bed one myself. I'll do that one.
Yeah, the bed tester. Yeah. I got to really do some research on this one. I'm going to be here for a couple hours. Come back later.
That's right. This one seems a little iffy. I have to make sure. And the 10 most dangerous jobs were the ones that we've had every year, pretty much. Policemen, stuntman, truck drivers. There was one that surprised me, and that was refuse and recyclable material collectors. And when did the garbage man get named a refuse material collector?
Are you kidding me? That's the name for the garbage man?
Yes, that's the trash collector. Refuse material collector now.
Wow. Wow.
And apparently
well,
it's the fourth most dangerous occupation.
Why?
I don't know. It says it was for non-fatal injuries, primarily lacerations. I guess they can get cut, you know. Roofers are on that list, which you would expect, miners. And then, you know, one of the most dangerous is farmers and ranchers. It's always on that list, too.
Yeah, so. As many times as you see, hear about the, you know, if you Google it, tractors turning over, that happens a lot. Scary enough.
Loggers, and then number one on the list, again, is fishermen. Fishermen are always number one on the list. And do you know what the average annual salary is for the most dangerous job in the world, fishermen?
What?
$25,000 a year.
Oh, no, thank you. Is that the, I thought it was good money to catch those crab or whatever.
Yeah, but not for the guy on the boat. Maybe for the guy who owns the boat. But, you know, the work. Average $25,000 a year. And you've watched that show where they're out there and it's freezing cold and they're falling off the decks and everything. Who'd do that? I would. No way in hell.
No, not definitely not. I won't go on a boat anyway, so I don't care. That's awful.
My crappy list for the week.
Sounds good. Now, I know we've got some other stuff to get to, but we had a discussion before the show, Glenn, and we were talking here because I was talking to Jennifer, and we were just talking about our weekend, and I said that I was out riding horses, and our neighbor, like down the street a little bit, had gotten some goats, and they're cute, tiny, like little miniature baby goats, and they have bells around their neck and collars, and the problem is that going down the path, the horses don't know that these goats are there, and these goats come running out 100 miles an hour towards the fence with the bells around their neck, and it spooks the bejesus out of everyone. And I was just saying something about, like, this is the property that's right next to the one with all the donkeys, because that scares the horses, too. So we got donkeys and now these attack goats that come running out. That's actually really cute. And so I had to let Jet go up and sniff one. And I did send Jennifer that picture of him actually reaching down and sniffing the tiny little baby goat with the bell around his neck once he quit spooking. And with the mention of a donkey, you lost your mind.
I am telling you now, it has become official since the donkeys started attacking and eating people that they, this is what I've determined over the weekend, that the zombies have invaded donkeys. The zombies have gone inside of donkeys and apocalypse is going to be caused by donkeys. It's a donkey apocalypse.
Okay. See, that is very illogical. And you make fun of me for not wanting to use the microwave, for not wanting to swim in boats. All these things you make fun of me, and now you think that zombies are taking over donkeys?
I am posting a picture right now on our Facebook page, and you look at this creature, and you tell me that is not possessed by a zombie.
Huh.
Look at it. Right there. Possessed by a zombie. Look at those big ears.
Huh. That, oh, my God, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
And it'll eat your face off. That's the idea. They lull you in to a sense of security, and then they eat your face off, donkey.
Yeah, okay, whatever. that is, like, the cutest thing ever. Ridiculous. So donkeys are not taking over the world. And you were saying that one screams a lot during...
We have a donkey there. We have a donkey that lives about a mile from here, and every yesterday morning I was walking the dog. Those things can go nuts. I mean, they just scream and scream and scream and scream and scream and scream, and they're loud. I'd hate to be next door to that donkey because that you'd never get any sleep, that donkey there.
No.
It sounds like I'm a donkey racist.
You are a donkey racist. That was my point. What is wrong with you? You're a donkey racist. So listen. Whatever. Let's play the song, and I want you to know, Glenn, that when the donkey starts screaming, it is because there's a coyote nearby usually. So we have donkeys around our neighborhood, and they always let us know when the coyotes are nearby. So you should go out and hug a donkey.
or there's a person nearby and the zombie donkey wants to eat it. One or the other.
Okay, whatever.
Hey, the other day we tried to play a song, and we didn't have much luck. So I'm going to attempt to play the song again. And I discovered why we didn't have much luck is because this song is taken off of a new video by Templeton Thompson, and it's called Still House Jane, and it's one of my favorites. But it has this beginning part that had no music, which is why we thought it was weird. So the music actually will start right about now.
Moonshine.
Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week I'm going to feature something that has to do with the fact that we have had the hottest summer ever. People are clipping their horse, people are worried about sunburn on their little white noses, and they're worried about color change because of the sun. The Healthy Hair Care Sunflower Sunscreen for Horses is a product that I have used on my horse when I clip him in the spring or early summer, and I know a lot of people clip more than once during the summer. All you do is spray this stuff on, and it will keep them from being sunburned with their exposed skin after you clip them. No matter how careful you are to clip, you're always going to get some a little bit too short. Also, you can take it and you can put it on a sponge and put it on their face. If they've got a white face or if they've got a white nose that you're worried about, you can spray it on a sponge and put that on their face, and it will protect their white faces. And the manufacturers say it will help keep the coats the same color. I know that's a concern if you're in a place that's really just so hot to cover them up with a fly sheet. You can try this and see if that doesn't help. My horse is black and white, and I will tell you that the black does stay black. I would suggest trying this for that, but I would definitely recommend trying this for sunburn after clipping, or when you're trying to keep them from getting a sunburn on their little white noses.
And you can find the Healthy Hair Care Sunflower Sunscreen for Horses, there's a name for you, for $17, a little over $17 at equestriancollections.com. And I'm assuming the bottle lasts a while. It looks like a pretty good size.
It does. It's a quart. It lasts a while. It'll probably last you through a couple of clippings and plenty of just if you're just putting it on their little faces and their noses.
All right. Just go on to EquestrianCollections.com and search for Healthy Hair Care Sunflower, or just search for sunflower and you'll find it.
Oh, my gosh, unbelievable. Sorry, during that, I actually had to run outside because my boarders texted me and said, there's a flood out here. Joe Montana has ripped his automatic waterer off of the wall, off of the stall, and it is bolted to the stall, by the way, and somehow ripped it off, flipped it upside down, and there's a huge flood. So I just had to run out there and shut off the water and run back in. What an idiot. I don't understand. Okay. So as I'm kind of out of breath, we'll get back to the show. And it is that time again, Glenn. Hit the bumper.
It's time for the weekly health report from Horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
We've got Michelle Anderson with thehorse.com, and also I do believe we have Dr. House with us today. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, we have Dr. Amanda House from University of Florida with us. She is an assistant professor down there. She's also a board-certified internist. Equine Extension Specialist. She has one of those really long titles, Director of Equine Research Programs, Course Director, all sorts of things. Dr. House, welcome.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us today.
Wait. I can't do it.
Come on, Glenn, come on.
You hated when that TV show came out, didn't you? Your life has been a nightmare ever since then.
You know, I get so many clever remarks from clients, and I think they certainly, it's easy to remember my last name. So in that way, it's been good.
You just couldn't leave it alone. I'm sorry. I said no. Dr. House, and I just knew. I was like, I was staring at my watch going tick, tick, tick. I was waiting for it. And when she says clever remarks, that is her being a nice, sweet doctor, because there's no way she thinks they're clever.
I got to tell you, in the professor lounge, you get picked on. You have to. I mean, it has to happen.
It does happen occasionally, but some of the remarks really are pretty funny from both clients and students. And House is actually my married name, and so I kept my maiden name for a couple of years. And then when I took my job here at the University of Florida, my husband said, well, you know, it would be a great time to change your name and just think of how easy it will be for people to remember with the show and all. So I I did change it ultimately. So certainly my husband was happy with that.
I apologize for being a jerk.
Okay,
go ahead, Michelle.
Okay.
So
back on topic. We're talking about liver disease today, and we have an article in the current issue of The Horse, the print issue, if you want to take a look at that. But today, Dr. House is here to tell us a little bit about what the liver does for your horse. So, Dr. House, what does this organ do?
Absolutely. The liver is a really critical organ, and in fact, it's actually the largest organ in the horse's body. It makes up about 1% of their body weight. And this organ is critical for metabolism, for detoxification of different substances that the body sees, as well as elimination of substances. And the majority of our nutrients pass through the liver. It is the primary site for glucose or sugar production, storage, and release into the body. And it also synthesizes some really important proteins for us, such as albumin and many of the clotting factors that our body needs in order to clot our blood. As I said, it is the primary source of detoxification of foreign substances as well, like a lot of medications that we give, as well as other toxins that we might be exposed to or the horse might be exposed to.
Okay. Okay. So what kind of things can then go wrong with a horse's liver?
Well, unfortunately, there are lots of different types of liver disease that horses can develop. The good news is that it is fairly uncommon, so it is not one of the more common diseases that we see affecting horses. But some examples of different types of problems that can affect the liver are bacterial infection, so a disease that we call cholangiohepatitis. Abscesses can sometimes form in the liver as well as a result of infection. Inflammatory diseases can infect the liver, and we usually refer to that as hepatitis or chronic active hepatitis. Cancer can affect the liver, and plant toxicities are one of the things that we more commonly see here in the southeastern United States affecting the liver. So plants like the Senecio and Crotalaria species, such as ragwort, groundsel, rattlebox, heliotrope, these plants can cause pretty chronic and severe disease in the liver and changes. We can also see metabolic problems like fat infiltration in the liver, or just fatty liver. We can see stones that happen in the liver, and we call those little guys coleoliths. We can sometimes see those on ultrasound exam. And horses can also get really severe liver failure from different things. One of the common causes or more common causes of acute severe liver failure is a disease that we call Tyler's disease, and we typically will see that as kind of an idiosyncratic, we don't always know why it happens, reaction from a horse receiving tetanus antitoxin or other similar plasma-based products. There are other diseases that we see as well, though the list can get pretty long, but those are some of the more common ones that we evaluate.
Good job. How do horses live more than about 10 minutes with everything they can get and die from? Jeez.
Yes. So with these liver diseases, you mentioned that the plant toxicity is one of the most common. Are there any other that are more common that we as horse owners might come across or need to know what to look for as far as clinical signs?
Sure. And again, the plant toxicity is pretty common. The other thing that we can see that typically happens as a secondary infection in the liver is cholangiohepatitis. And that's usually related to an ascending bacteria getting into the liver and causing some signs like fever and maybe not wanting to eat or low-grade colic. Those would probably be the two most common things that we see.
Yeah, and so that's something that I have never come across, but right now I have a friend whose horse just came back from the ICU, spent a week there because of cholangiohepatitis. So it does happen, and
it does.
The timing was really interesting.
Absolutely.
So what is the difference between liver disease and liver failure?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's a progression. The liver is really a really efficient organ, and we typically don't start to see more severe signs that something is wrong until about two-thirds of the liver is damaged. And so there are different enzymes that we look at that become elevated when a horse has liver disease, and there is a function test that we evaluate in the blood looking at the concentration of bile acids secreted in the liver that starts to increase pretty dramatically when a horse has progressed to liver failure. Some of the clinical signs that we'll see related to liver disease, probably the most common ones, are pretty nonspecific. They are things like weight loss and decreased appetite, in addition to that classic yellowing of the mucous membranes or jaundice. But we can see that yellowing or jaundice from other causes as well. In fact, in horses that just don't eat for a couple of days, they can actually start to look a little bit yellow. So that doesn't absolutely mean that a horse has liver disease. Some of the other signs that we'll see can be pretty subtle things like depression, mild signs of colic, maybe a fever, like your friend's horse that you talked about with the cholangiohepatitis had a high fever. And we may see edema or fluid accumulation kind of along the underside of the abdomen as well. As the disease progresses and becomes more severe, the clinical signs of liver failure are typically going to be more severe as well. And we can see problems with clotting because critical proteins, the clotting factors, are not being produced and the horse's blood isn't clotting normally. We can see worsening edema accumulation because the horse's albumin is getting low, and so the fluid that normally stay in the intravascular space are kind of leaking out into some of the tissues. And then one of the liver's most important jobs is to get rid of ammonia. And when the liver isn't functioning properly, ammonia is going to build up. And this can affect the brain. It leaks into the brain. And those signs can be pretty dramatic and severe and include abnormal behavior, sometimes aggression, head pressing, blindness, uncoordinated gaits. So those neurologic signs can be some of the more severe progressive signs that we will see in a horse with liver failure.
Okay. And so if your horse doesn't seem quite right, like my friend's horse, the horse was lethargic, she took the temp, the horse had a really high temp, and it was kind of this progressive diagnosis of what was going on with the horse. But once you see those things are going on, what treatment options will your vet pursue?
Well, I'm sure your friend's horse had some diagnostics run, because as we talked about, some of these signs are not very specific. And so it is important to try to target where the problem is and what the problem is when we can. So some of the different tests that we're going to do would include lab work to look at the specific liver enzymes and some of the liver function evaluation that I talked about with the bile acids. We can also do an ultrasound exam of the liver to look at how the parenchyma or tissue of the liver looks. And a liver biopsy with a culture sample also is helpful to give us some more information about the severity and potential prognosis, cause, sometimes cause, not always, and then hopefully the potential prognosis for the horse. The therapies that we do for liver disease are typically mostly supportive treatments. So those things would include IV fluids with dextrose or sugar in them to support the horse's metabolism, antibiotics, because sometimes the liver can have a bacterial infection, and the liver is kind of our big filter for our blood and our system, and so we may be prone to developing other infections if the liver isn't working properly. And anti-inflammatory drugs can be helpful just to help make the horses feel a little bit better, as well as potentially treat inflammation that may be occurring in the liver. We can give specific medications if we know that the horse has a high blood ammonia, and that's one thing that we can look at on lab work. We can also give some specific medications that will help lower the ammonia levels. We also want to make sure that the horse is on a good, that the horse is eating well and ideally on a lower protein type diet. And we have some drugs available to reduce fibrous scar tissue formation as well as a supportive treatment that we can put them on. I think one of the most important things that we can do is to give the horses time to recover, support them through that period, hopefully allow the liver to regenerate, and certainly remove them from any type of pasture if we suspect, or remove the toxic plants from the pasture if we suspect that a plant toxicity is causing the liver disease.
Okay. So that, of course, would prevent your horse from a poisoning type situation, but is there any way to prevent things like a bacterial infection of the liver or any of these other issues that we see?
Boy, I wish there was. Many of the causes of liver disease that we talked about can't really be easily or readily prevented. We are pretty cautious about use of tetanus antitoxin in horses because of the small chance that Tyler's disease causing liver failure could develop. But that's not going to happen in the majority of cases that are treated with a plasma product or with tetanus antitoxin. As you mentioned, trying to make sure that your pasture doesn't contain any toxic plants is definitely one thing that owners can absolutely do, and your veterinarian or even the county extension office across different states in the areas can be very helpful in terms of identifying regionally specific toxic plants that could affect horses' livers.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. House, and I'm glad to say that my friend's horse is recovering after, you know, a week and a half of care. So it's definitely a long road, but we're glad summer is going to be back on the trail, hopefully here very soon. So thank you. And if anyone wants to know any more about liver issues, like I said, you can go to that current issue of the horse, the September issue. We have a nice feature article in there. And do we have Glenn and Jamie around there?
Yes. Now, I was going to ask you too for next week, if it's potentially okay, because I noticed you guys had a article on horses that don't sweat. And we got to talk about that because it is causing me more problems than you can imagine, a horse not sweating. So could that be related to the liver? I don't know. Find out next week. No. Well, so, Dr. House, sorry for my co-host harassing you about your last name. I was just going to let it go. But he had to jump in there. So I do apologize for that. But again, thank you so much for joining us. And Michelle, I hope your friend's horse is okay.
I think she's going to be on the mend. It was pretty scary last week. Really high temp,
well,
but good care.
And Michelle, I think your friend's horse is really demonstrates a critical point that early recognition and investigation of a horse with that just doesn't seem quite right or has abnormal clinical signs is definitely going to get them on the path to treatment and recovery sooner.
And I have to say, with all of the work and all of the things that I know about horse health, that little thermometer, which is an inexpensive tool in your first aid kit, can really help get your horse treated quickly. You see a little bit of lethargy, take a temp, and go from there. So definitely worth doing and having that in your first aid kit. I know my friend Laura is glad that she went out and on a hunch took her horse's temp, and it was pretty serious.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thanks you guys so much for joining us, and we will, Michelle will talk to you again next week, and again, thank you very much, Dr. House.
My pleasure.
Week.
You guys have a great morning.
Bye.
You too.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Did you really think I was going to get through 5 minutes without asking?
No, but I thought I could try. Now, I am paranoid. Now I am going to go take my horse's temperatures just for the heck of it. I swear. I'm like, I need to get the insurance on the horse. I've got to, I'm stressed.
You doing this show and doing this segment every Wednesday is not a good thing. You're a tiny bit of a hypochondriac anyway, so this just adds to it every week.
It cost me a lot of money to do this show. A lot.
Hey, a couple things before we go here today. I just wanted to mention Burley over the weekend. Now, the Eventing Radio Show is providing terrific coverage of it. That'll be out tomorrow. But Sinead Halpin, when we left on Friday, she was leading after dressage, United States rider, and she was leading after cross country as well. As a matter of fact, she had two rails in hand going into stadium, which means that she could knock two rails down and still win. It was a heartbreaker. She knocked the third rail down and ended up in second place.
Now,
yeah.
Apparently,
ended up in
an incredibly tough course. I don't think many people actually went clean and heartbreaking. Now, you've got Sinead Halpin, who finished in second, and I do believe that Allison Springer with Arthur finished in sixth place. Do you think that the Olympic Committee was like,
Maybe we should have gone with those guys.
You know, she's not feeling too bad because she was surprised that because of her second place finish here, it actually put her in third place for the HSBC FEI Classic Series. Remember we talked about that?
Awesome.
Well, William Fox Pitt ended up winning that, but because of some other ranking things that happened over the weekend at other shows, she ended up in third place and winning the third place money for that. So she wasn't too upset about that over the weekend.
Well, no, I mean, but you know, to represent your country, I know it was, I was really pulling for her because at Rolex 2 years ago was just an amazing story. And so was Allison Springer. And I know both of them work really hard, as do all of them. And I was pulling kind of for the underdog and they didn't make the team. And I just wonder, you know, does the Olympic Committee ever go, oops, yeah, oops, we should have maybe...
Well, I think any time you don't win medals, you probably go, oops. And one other thing I just wanted to tell everybody that the Paralympics went off last week without a problem. And once again, Britain just cleaned up. They just cleaned up. So and Victoria couldn't make it today. She was feeling under the weather from Horse and Country TV. And I'm sure she would have loved to be here just to gloat about how great things are for Great Britain this year, because they really have been.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, congratulations to them. Congratulations to Allison and also to Sinead. So great weekend for those guys. Hopefully they'll be back in the U.S. safe and sound shortly. And I'm going to go get my horse. I'm going to go practice my dressage test, Glenn. I got to go.
I think you need to, in your bikini on the beach.
No, not that's next weekend. That's after the horse show. Okay.
Well, you have a great horse show.
Thank you. Spay, neuter, and geld, people.